Welcome to Dreaming the Light. I'm Joanna, your guide on this transformative dream journey. In this podcast, we will explore the world of dreams, sleep, and rest, uncovering their remarkable healing potential, even in the most challenging times. Discover practical tools to navigate nightmares, anxiety, and trauma-related sleep issues, as we embark together on a quest to unlock the healing power of your dreams. Hello, everyone. Today, I'm having a great pleasure of talking to Dr. Catherine Lawson. She is a dream worker, mind-body medicine practitioner, certified embodied imagination practitioner, consultant, speaker, author, and founder of the Awake in the Dream School. And there are so many things I would love to talk to Dr. Catherine today, but I would love to focus in this conversation, especially on the healing power of dream work and embodied imagination and how it can help us during very complicated situations and circumstances. If we just experience traumatic events or in the face of adversity, how we can actually use the method that she developed and combine so many beautiful practices into embodied imagination and dream work, and how we can use those tools to help us heal, to help us go through the parts of our life that can be very painful and hard. So, Catherine, thank you for being here today. I really appreciate your time. And I would love to start by asking you, how did you land on this path of dream work and integral medicine and all these other wonderful things that you studied?
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me here. And I'm just going to make one quick clarification. The method of embodied imagination was developed by Robert Bosnak, who is a Dutch Jungian analyst who studied at the Jung Institute in Zurich. And I have taken the certification and modified it in some ways for the application with psychedelic integration, but the method is firmly pioneered by Robert Bosnak.
Yes, I meant how you use it also for dream work and the other practices.
Yes. And so it did actually start out as a method for dream work. I would say that, you know, I decided to become a psychotherapist and studied at Pacifica Graduate Institute. That's kind of the beginning of it. The place that I chose to study was very heavily focused in Jungian psychology, mythology, and those kinds of ways of viewing the world. So that's, you know, somewhat what guided me here. I will say that, you know, I really decided to full on pursue a career as a psychotherapist not long after having a 3-year period of my life during which I suffered the loss of my husband, the loss of a child, and the loss of my mother. So in 3 years, I suffered some of the strongest things that we suffer as human beings. So went through the trauma and grief associated with that and chose to make meaning of it in some ways by becoming a psychoanalyst. Or psychotherapist. So I enrolled at Pacifica and it was an amazing experience. And I ended up writing my master's thesis on dream work for healing PTSD and trauma and sexual trauma. And so at that point, I was just fully aware and immersed in the power of dream work for healing things and in the fact that our subconscious and the collective subconscious works to help us to integrate those things that have been most difficult in our lives. And when I went to go and start collecting the hours for my licensure, I came to understand that, well, I was actually told in some circumstances, you can't talk to people about their dreams. And I said, what? That makes no sense. How can that be? But, you know, there were focuses on things like cognitive behavioral therapy and really more clinical ways of looking at healing in people. And I realized, well, that's not really who I am. So I went ahead and practiced. I never got licensed as an MFT, which is the licensure marriage and family therapist in California. But I developed a practice after acquiring my master's in counseling psychotherapy with a specialization in depth psychotherapy as a counselor for many years. And after several of those, I decided that I would like to get my doctorate and that I really kind of wanted to focus on dream work. I really was captured by the potential for healing in dream work, my own. I'd done a lot of my own. I'd been seeing it in all of these people that I've been working with who were in severe situations of trauma and grief. And so I enrolled at CIIS, actually, in their East-West Psychology PhD program. And I got through one semester and I was diagnosed with cancer. And had to drop out and had to go through that grueling journey of survival that is cancer treatment. Fortunately, I was already enrolled in the 3-year certification program with Robert Bodznak for embodied imagination, and that helped me so much in surviving what I was going through, and also really established an understanding in me that a cancer diagnosis is a trauma, and that while the doctors are struggling valiantly to do everything they can to save your body, you are going through something incredibly difficult in your emotions and in your spirit. And if those things aren't working together, you're not really able to heal as well. So when I finished treatment with the help of embodied imagination, I decided to enroll in a doctoral program in mind-body medicine because I felt like I've got to talk to people about this. And so I got my doctorate in mind-body medicine. I worked with cancer patients for several years and using embodied imagination to help them survive, whether it was their own mortality, you know, existential crisis because they were facing their own mortality or just going through chemo and radiation and how traumatic that is. And kind of went along that way for a number of years. I mean, I've been doing all of this for, you know, about 2 decades. But at a certain point, I affiliated with MAPS, which is the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, as a plant medicine integration specialist. And over those 8 years that I've been affiliated with them, a lot of people reached out for help integrating these, you know, mind-blowing, essentially, experiences that they've been having. And because I had the certification in embodied imagination, I started using it to help them integrate their experiences. And I came to understand how powerful it was. And eventually, on a trip to Egypt, strangely enough, decided that I needed to train other people to use that same method because more and more people were starting to turn to these ways of growth and healing. So that's the short version, and it's not that short of how I got here. But I would say that it's a combination of, you know, experiences that I've had with people who come to me for guidance and my own healing, right, from grief and trauma, and a bunch of education. That's how I got here.
A lot of education and a lot of very interesting stuff. And the way that you combine it and that you saw connection, it's very interesting for me to ask you about, when did you see this connection between our dreams and the experience we may have if we use plant medicine? Like those experiences, someone would say, here I was dreaming and here I was experiencing something. It wasn't a dream, but how did you realize when those people were coming to you for the integration that you can actually use some of the methods that you've been using for working with dreams to also work with integration of psychedelic experiences?
Well, you know, over the years working with the clients who came to me for counseling from PTSD and differing levels of trauma, I really started to lean on dream work and understand that the images that are presented to us are not just random nonsense, that they are actually for us, particular to us, and that there is just they're an abundant resource. And so For me, it was natural to turn to that because I believe, and now even more strongly, that the images that are coming to people when they're in a visionary state as the result of using a psychedelic, and the images that come to people when they are dreaming, come from a very similar source. And that source is that person and their connection to a very soulful place known as the collective unconscious in Jungian speak, but that, you know, in mysticism, shamanic practitioners access, and it's just, we're resourced with these images. We've forgotten the language that they speak. And so what I came to understand as people were sharing the visions that they had was, you know, what if I could help them understand these images that are coming to them in ways that don't seem so bizarre or so terrifying, but in the ways that they've been coming to us since the beginning of time, in ways that point out that they're actually just a separate language trying to help us integrate all of the parts of ourselves into a whole. And so, I mean, I found out by trying. I really found out by trying and seeing people really impacted in very meaningful ways, seeing people be able to take things that seemed like utter nonsense or really kind of scary material and start moving it into their lives in ways like, oh, this was the message, and it was very particular for me. And this is what the collective is feeding up from this unlimited resource of pool of images that connects us all, every man, woman, and child on the planet every single night, and integrating it. And so really, I figured it out by trying it and by having so much faith and confidence in dream work and those methods based on my years of experience seeing it work. It's actually a lot more efficacious than talk therapy. And I used to hesitate to say that, but I don't anymore, because you know what? We don't even have time to mess around.
I agree with you. Yes, yeah. Definitely. And for someone who doesn't really know what embodiment or embodied imagination is, like they didn't experience this approach, whether to dream work or to therapy, could you talk a little bit about it, how this is different than just regular talk therapy or talk dream work?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the ways that I believe embodied imagination is really different and more powerful is actually the embodied piece. We've really come to understand that a lot of our emotional and psycho-spiritual healing does not happen in the mind. We do not think our way whole or healed. We feel our way whole or healed. And where do we do that? We do that in the body, right? And so basically, embodied imagination is a way of receiving the information that is shared by a dream or a psychedelic vision in the body, in a shared perspective with images from your dreams or visions. So in a typical embodied imagination session, we might take someone into a state of hypnagogia, which is simply a very relaxed state between waking and dreaming, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are completely familiar with this, and then we guide them back into the dream, recreating it as a real environment with all of the images there, dream or vision, and then, you know, by a very slow and particular and careful method, we guide them to get close enough to the images that eventually they become absorbed by the perspective and the body and the capacities that those images hold. And then we help them to anchor that in their own bodies, because at that point, they're in a dual state of consciousness, right? So if there's it's a cat, they're the cat, but they're also the person who's just sitting there working this dream with me. Where in the body are you most aware of these capacities that you're now feeling that the cat holds? And we help them to anchor that in their own body in a felt way. In a typical session, we can go around and pick up between 3 and 5 of these images in anchored, embodied, physical ways. In other words, you are lent the capacities that these images hold. And at the end, we just hold them all together in the body at once. And that is actually the medicine. I was hesitant to use that word, but what happens is somewhat of an alchemical process. So you're holding these felt capacities that five different images from your dream or vision have presented to you and just allowing them to cook. What happens, what arises when these new felt perspectives and experiences are available to you? Well, usually it's pretty big, it's pretty good, and it's just what's needed. And the great thing about having this as a felt experience where you associate each new capacity or perspective that you've had with a physical sensation is when the session is over, you keep practicing. You can, in fact, practice those things until you own them, until they're yours, which is how they started out in the first place.
That's really incredible. And it's just like underlines how powerful our dreams are. And I really loved something that I read on your website about how dreams are one of the most undervalued resources we have and how we somehow, somewhere in our evolution, we just completely decided to just to diminish their value and their importance in our life. And for many people still, when I talk about dreams, I feel like, no, it's just a nonsense. It's just my brain processing. Like, yeah, it is your brain processing, but it's not on your brain processing things.
That's right.
And this incredible tool that is available to most of us every night, if we just pay some attention to remember what's happening, it can have such a powerful impact, as you said, even more if we not only notice our dreams, but then we decide to do something about what we see, what we felt, what we experience in the dream. And the way that you describe, the way that you practice dream work, it sounds incredibly powerful, I must say, because being able also to take the perspective of the capacity, as you said, of another element or symbol from the dream, it's also like acknowledging that it's just a part of us that exists somewhere within us, right? Mm-hmm. And then it extends this view of ourselves that many people, I believe, hold, that we are just like one thing, this you know, one Catherine and one Joanna, and that this is it. But like, in reality, what I believe is that we are just a sum of so many parts, and they just manifest in our dreams. And it's incredible the way that we can connect to this part through dream work.
The thing that I wanted to say about, you know, we've lost touch with this unlimited resource that's available to all of us is that it is available to all of us. So there was a point in time where it was the medicine, right? People would go to Asclepian healing temples and they would receive, they would dream, and they would work with people who were specialists in working with dreams. And that was medicine. It was the beginning of medicine. But at a certain point in time, you know, where we were moving culturally, there was no way to monetize it, right? Mm. And it's not really so scientifically provable, right? And so it's subjective. And so we moved away from it in some ways due to science, in some ways due to religion, in some ways due to capitalism, right? There's a lot of reasons for us to have moved away from this resource that's actually available to each and every one of us every single night if we could just remember the language. And so I think people like you and me and there, you know, all of us who are out there kind of trying to point people back to what's really a democratic resource. You know, it's like, it's good work, but it's hard work because there's still a lot of influence in the measurable, quantifiable, peer-reviewed, you know, all of that. And the experience, for example, of embodied imagination is incredibly subjective, right?
Also, experience of every dream or any other vision or experience that we have is also very subjective, right? So it invites us to take a plunge and to see for ourselves what's out there. But I also feel that it's because I say it often, but it always strikes me like how often dreams can show us things that not only we resist, but we are not even aware of. So again, nothing against the therapy and or talk therapy whatsoever, but I feel like many times because we are not aware of so many things that happen within us, we can't walk through those things because they're so deep and maybe very hard to reach. Whether when someone look into their dreams, I feel like this is an incredible opportunity to see things that we cannot see every day, that we may hide from ourselves and others, even our therapies, not only because we don't want to share it, it's just because we really don't know how to vocalize it or that it even exists. And I feel that when someone comes to you and share the dream, obviously every dream belongs to the dreamer and the language of the dream is very personal. So I'm not ever into like generalizing or saying, oh, you dreamed this, so it means that and so on. But many times when someone tells me their dream, they open the window to their soul.
Yeah. So I feel like, yeah, everything that you're saying is true. In my experience, you know, with some of the kinds of deep trauma that people come with, let's just, as an example, use childhood trauma. So much is incomprehensible to a child's mind. So much of it gets pushed deep into the subconscious. So much of it gets relegated into a frozen, fear-based state that there is no access to it in waking consciousness. And what I find is that when people revisit the dream in an embodied imagination session, because it's not real, they have the ability, they have the capacity and the spaciousness to visit things and to experience things that are not available to them in their normal waking state. And by holding those in an embodied way, they are able to impact the way that they react to those very same experiences in day-to-day life.
Yeah, exactly what you just said. I couldn't put it into words like that, but I couldn't agree more. And many times I think about it, how many things happen to us, not only when we are children, but a lot when we are children that we can't comprehend on the mind level. So then it kind of goes somewhere and we can't really know what just really happened or what we really felt. Do you feel that working with people on integrating their psychedelic experience, that this is also what people face, that those things, they come up similarly as they come with the dreams? And that's why it is so important to your work that you do with this program for teaching the integration of the psychedelic experiences, that's why it's so important.
I do. You know, as a dream worker, my favorite dreams to work are nightmares, repetitive dreams, and also children's dreams. Because children often won't have the language to tell us what's going on in their internal world, but we can get a really very sweet picture from the images that show up in their dreams and their associations to those images. Outside of that, nightmares are filled with images that hold material that's begging for us to attend to them. That's why it's so terrifying. That's why it's so vivid, because it's begging for attention. That's nightmares and bad trips. I'm holding them like this because it's asking for attention. And so what I've seen over the years is when I help someone to integrate the understandings that are held in a nightmare, they never have it again. Same thing with a repetitive dream. A repetitive dream is trying and trying and trying, right, to get your attention. Once you integrate the messages that are held there and the understandings, they go away. So with a bad trip, I find that those images are really so vivid because they hold very important information for the person. And they're not necessarily meant to terrorize you, but they're meant to get your attention. And in order to come into a relationship with them and get the information that they're trying to share, it's very much like a psychedelic journey in general. You have to surrender to information outside of yourself. And be willing to entertain the other, be willing to not be completely in control of everything. But in those situations, if you can transit into those images or allow someone to guide you into the transit with those images, you can find out truly life-changing information. And that information has been held in your own psyche or soul. I believe that that is the source of the images that people are facing in visionary experiences with psychedelics and with dreams.
This is such a powerful statement. And again, it's something that I love about dream work is that it shows us that all the answers to the questions we seek, everything that basically we need, it's within us. It may not be easy to reach, but it's within us. And I found dream work so empowering because when you say to the person, you know, it's in you, maybe not so easy to reach, or maybe on the conscious level, it's not so easy to reach, but it's there. It's incredibly empowering. And you don't send someone to follow this teacher or do this or do that. Like, again, nothing against learning and having teachers and helpers and guides, because we need them to sometimes hold our hand. But this notion of it's there and it's trying to communicate with you, whether it's during your dreams or during other experiences that you may have, you know, it's like, just take it. I feel like, just take it. Just take it, because it's there for you and it wants the best for you. Even, as you said, even if it comes in a form of nightmare or in a form of repetitive, annoying and so on dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. It is empowering. You know, I've seen people's lives change, or their experience of life change in just incredibly impactful ways. People who are suffering from cancer, people who have suffered from incredibly traumatic experiences from childhood through adulthood, there's something also to be understood once you do have the dream work experience and understand that those dreams are available to you. That's also powerful, right? Because it's like, oh, this has been with me all along. I just wasn't allowing it to come through because I didn't understand, right? So it's empowering on a number of different levels.
Exactly. And even telling someone, actually, your nightmares are not there to haunt you. They are there to help you. Only that can sink so deep. And I've seen it happening so many times when people talk about their nightmares and how scary they are and how they think that something is wrong with them. And again, even not going into this place of how people feel alone with their nightmares, because we don't speak often enough about that. So many people think, oh, I'm fucked up, I have nightmares and so on and so on. But only saying it's there, it's hard and it's scary, and maybe you've been dealing with it for way too long, but it's actually there to help you. Sometimes this one sentence already, it's incredible what a change it can make in a person's life. Because like the shift in the perspective that it's there for me, not against me, and I've seen it. So it tells me, I woke up in the middle of the night after this terrible nightmare and my mind wanted to go already in my pattern of, you know, all the nightmare. And then I said, I remember what you said, that it's actually there to help me. And something, yeah, it didn't, it's, there was still the nightmare and there is still the work that needs to be done, integration needs to be done. But like this tiny spark of light, the switch in perspective, it's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we didn't go there. We don't need to go there. But actually, my journey with understanding the power of dreams for growth and healing came from a repetitive nightmare that I had since childhood. Yeah, it really is remarkable. And it really is a shame that we've lost touch. And so what happens is there's this bridge of communication between the dream realms and us, that it can be open all the time and really inspirational and really an incredible resource. And we sort of close the door. So this is where you hear a lot of people saying, well, I don't remember my dreams, but they're dreaming every single night, every single one of us, right? And so what we're in now is this process of, can we reopen the bridge Can we be resourced in that way? And can we allow it? And I think we can, and I think we really need it. And I see it happening slowly. I think that the movement towards psychedelics is a friend, is a complement to those understandings about the imagery that presents itself in our lives when we are sleeping. And I just hope we can continue nurturing that relationship, because it really is a relationship, and it's a relationship with ourselves that we've lost.
I was wondering, as you mentioned that you worked with people with PTSD or severe trauma, and you also focus your thesis around it. Could you give some examples of how dream work can assist us during a hardship and also after we went through something very traumatic and now we're dealing with the consequences of the impact that it has in our life?
So, I mean, I guess that would start with an understanding of what, you know, the symptoms of trauma look like, and they can be incredibly impactful and inhibiting to our lives, right? Because once we've experienced trauma, we kind of shut down into this small little world of safety seeking, which doesn't allow us the expansiveness of opportunity that's available, you know, to those who have not. And so very often it just starts with keeping track of your dreams. A lot of trauma survivors will have some repetitive dreams or nightmares, but if they don't, it really just starts with keeping track of your dreams. And in the process of working those dreams, you start to get messages that are pointing you towards what needs attention. And continuing to do the dream work sort of allows you to attend to those tender places in ways that are safe, because you're not going back to the original trauma, right? You're actually in the imaginal realm, sitting with someone who you've developed a relationship with, safely feeling your way through what could be traumatic memories or experiences of your life. And here's the other thing. What the dreams will very often do is they'll present you with an image that might hold some uncomfortable aspect of the original trauma, say fear. But what they're also going to present you with is a capacity of your own that you also might not be familiar with. For example, some image that you share an embodiment with might hold courage or might hold calm and spaciousness. And in the process of embodied imagination, what we do, as I mentioned at the end, is we're going to hold those together. So we're going to hold that body that holds fear together with this also newfound capacity for calm and for spaciousness. And what happens when you work and hold those two together, and it's a practice that we encourage people to keep doing long after the session, is it changes the fear. So what we know is that the brain is predisposed to negative emotional states because of survival. And that's, we sort of create these well-worn pathways where that's just where we fall into where when any trigger happens. But what we also have learned is that what wires together fires together in the brain. So if we can put that capacity for spaciousness and calm together with the fear, mm-hmm. eventually it changes the fear and the behavior. So that's what the dreams are presenting us with, an opportunity to mix together different aspects of ourselves in a way against those that have hijacked our brain and our responses, to change them so that we're more regulated. We have more capacity. We have more resources, and we change. I see people actually change all the time. It's a practice, right? You can't just hold that one time and be like, okay, I'm fixed. But you know, we give you a tincture. You know, we give you in a felt way what the dream has shared with you, and you can keep practicing it because it's yours. It's yours. And people change. People come out of fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. because the dreams lend them new capacities to throw into the mix that changes the mix. That's really the main way that it works.
That's so incredible what you just explained. I want to try this method. Yeah, what wired together, fired together. Yeah, and this is like the power of dreams. Sometimes, again, they're being dismissed as this irrelevant, you know, nighttime journeys, but like there is so much power in them and in our capacity of process and learn and grow through them. It's incredible. And if someone had psychedelic experiences, right, also because they are seeking for healing, what would you say from the program that you teach, from the way that you teach, why is it so important to also address those experiences in a proper way, like our dreams as well, in order to get the best out of it? I want to say, maybe that's not the best word, but.
Well, first of all, I want to say that we don't have control over what happens in a psychedelic experience, right? We can have impact by how we, the setting and the mindset that we approach it with. But we never have control, complete control over it. And so there are things that may arise in a psychedelic journey that we didn't see coming and we don't know what to do with. And people can be so confused by the imagery that they receive or some of the emotional states that they feel that they come out of it on the other side more confused than ever. Or convinced of traumas that didn't exist, or traumas that did exist and they hadn't really come to a full realization. I mean, people can really come out of it on the other side at loose ends. Even when they see a bunch of beautiful images and feel a bunch of beautiful states, the question can still be, well, what now? Right? And so, you know, the idea behind this powerful integration method and the preparation, which we also teach, is that there is incredible potential for these medicines and the experiences that people have to help them, like dreaming, with growth and healing. There's also potential for them to be incredibly confusing, disturbing, and really unsettling. And so what we hope to do is kind of set up wings of support on either side of that, right? So that you go in educated for safety, for ethics, for making good choices, and you come out the other side and you have somebody to support you in understanding what just happened and how does that apply to my life exactly? You know, because otherwise, I mean, I've had people come to me in quite severe distress after psychedelic journeys. And I've had people integrate those very same experiences that they were so distressed by and put them into practice in their lives in powerful ways that actually we might not have been able to get to in a talk therapy setting over a period of a year because it's served right up from their unconscious. Again, it's a matter of we don't remember the language and therefore it can be incredibly confusing. And also, you know, if you're taking these medicines without adequate preparation and integrating it into your day-to-day life, there's a lot about that that just kind of sounds like taking drugs, you know?
Yes.
And so it kind of gets into the territory of what's recreational and what's therapeutic. And I personally am not going to say there's something wrong with taking these drugs recreationally. You know, I'm nobody's judge. But if you're interested in taking them for psycho-spiritual growth or for therapeutic reasons, those two pieces on the other side are critical as far as I'm concerned. They have to be there.
Yeah, it totally makes sense because it's like only having maybe part of the experience if you don't right. decide to integrate it later or really understand the message. Like with a dream, we can have a dream, a bad involved or good dream. And then we obviously feel things, we may think things about it. But if we decide not to look deeper we may miss out on so many things. So from what right. you were saying, I feel like it's very similar. It just maybe psychedelic experiences many times are maybe stronger than some of our dreams. So the impact of one experience can be very, very profound, as you say, and can leave us in not necessarily stable place. So it feels like such an important thing to do. If you already do it, so go for it fully. This is what I feel from you. You know, like you go for it, you have it. Maybe it's a good trip, maybe it's bad trips. Again, wherever you decide to label it or not. But then there is still this part, right, that it's there available to you if you want to really take a deeper dive into this experience.
Yeah. One thing that you're saying that's making me realize and something that I feel is important to share about this work, which is this. We have a dream or we have a psychedelic experience, right, a visionary state. All of us, our habitual consciousness or our ego perspective is going to have something to say about that. It's going to want to have the analysis and it fits into our box of understanding about the world, and that's done. There is nothing to gain there. There's nothing to gain there. So one of the main aspects of embodied imagination as a dream work method is that what we are given is the opportunity to get out of our own way and let something new come through, new information that's not attached to habitual consciousness, that's not attached to our ego perspective, but understanding that these images hold something that is not normally available to us. Do we want that information or do we not? And so I think that that's just really important to acknowledge, is that a lot of people, based on even their trauma responses, will just assume that this meant that and that meant that and done. Dream work and dream psychedelic integration are all about allowing something new, the other, to come through and have a voice. And that something new still belongs to us, but it's not something that our old protective mechanisms are going to necessarily embrace.
You made a very, very important point. And this is what I feel about dream dictionaries, that this is one of these exact ways of just looking for straightforward answer that's going to fit some kind of formula, someone's idea about what something's supposed to mean to us. And again, of course, we have the archetypes and the collective meanings, and it all has place somewhere. But first and foremost, for me, it's the individual understanding. And also how important it is to share dreams with others, if it's one-on-one or if it's group or if it's forum. Because as you said, we like to look things certain ways and we like when they fit. And so many times we jump to this past conclusions, exactly what you said. And I see it also sometimes in the dream circles, is that someone say the dream they want to share and they already know everything about the dream. So they share the dream and they share the interpretation of the dream. And then, so what's left there, right? So I always say to other people that share the dream is that, you know, it's okay that this is what happens in your mind. And if it's okay, if it's your first thought, and many times the first thought is the best thought and so on. But maybe, as you said, there is something else there, and there is this part that it's new to you. And I feel that through the work that you are doing and the method that you are doing, it can be accessed easier.
Right. Well, with embodied imagination, you actually never interpret the dream because it speaks for itself.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. The images speak for themselves. So there is no, you know, and then you feel it into your body. So you know what, you know, by the end of a session, you know what the dream was there for. So there's no analysis involved in embodied imagination session.
Very interesting and completely different approach. I think for many it can be revolutionary to try to do a dream work this way, because yes, it's very different from many other ways of looking into dreams, connecting to dreams. Yeah, it's just this openness. I think, you know, there need to be certain amount of openness for us to trust this process and to trust our bodies and to trust whatever is happening more than the chatter we may have in our heads during this experience.
When you're fully in hypnagogia and you've recreated the environment of the dream and you're sharing a body with the images that you find there, you are in an expanded state of consciousness. So embodied imagination dream work is an expanded state of consciousness on its own. And so one of the reasons that that makes it so applicable to psychedelic integration is because it's an opportunity to sort of continue this expanded state of working with your images, but in a way that you can carry it into your day-to-day life.
Exactly. Something very different. I really love it. Sounds like such a deep and profound ways of connecting to our dreams and other experiences that we have, wherever those experiences are. So we touched a little bit on the part of how dreams can assist us during hard times. Could you maybe share one of your own experiences of how dreams helped you to go through something very, very hard?
Yeah, I mean, I very often share a dream that I had when I was going through chemo and radiation because it kicked off my own CPTSD diagnosis, right? So while I'm going every day to lay in a machine that's putting radiation into my body and I'm drinking this poison, right? And I'm feeling as bad as a person can feel. And I'm scared. I'm worried that I'm going to die, right? And so my dreams were really quite active. And at one point, I worked a dream with Robert Bosnak because I was in the middle of my certification program. And I had a dream that I was standing on the edge of a lake with my husband. There might have been other people in the background. And I understood that we had to get to the other side of that lake right away and turn off the nuclear reactor or the whole world was going to end. And we were the ones who had to save the world. And so in the dream, my husband got in the water and he started swimming over to the other side. And I was in touch with him like telepathically or something, but I could also see what he could see. And at a certain point, I saw a bunch of alligators on rocks off to the side. Mm-hmm. And they started slipping into the water and swimming towards him. And I thought to myself, oh my God, he's really in trouble. These alligators are going to eat him. So I got on a walkie-talkie and I called 911 or whatever. I called the emergency people on the other side and I got someone answered. This older woman answered and I said, my husband's coming over to help save the world and turn off the nuclear power plant, but there's alligators swimming towards him and you need to send some ambulances down to the shore and get somebody out there to help him right away. And she was just like very matter of fact and took all the facts. And she was like, don't you worry. Everything's going to be okay. We got this. And I actually in the dream could see ambulances going out towards the shore. And that was the end of the dream. So in the process of embodiment, one of the first embodiments that we did is I went into the body of dream, my husband, and swimming in the water. And while I was embodied by dream, my husband, swimming in the water, I felt how strong and steady and capable he was. He had no concerns whatsoever about being able to do this. And then, you know, Bosnak asked me, where in the body are you most aware of these feelings of strength and steadiness and capability? I feel it in my hips as my legs are kicking. Okay, anchor it there. So I anchored in my hips the feelings of strength and steadiness and capability. And then I think we went to the alligators, and the alligators were just filled with this desire to eat. They just wanted to eat. They were going to go after whatever they could get their jaws on and take it on as a part of themselves and eat it to become a part of themselves. And so I ended up anchoring that. And then a really beautiful part was that the woman who was on the other end of the line at the 911 ended up being Michael's mother. My husband's name is Michael, who is dead and who I've never met before. But she came through in this dream to tell me that everything was going to be okay. So that happens sometimes, but not very often, that those who have passed will come through in dreams. But what I was able to anchor is that it turned out that those alligators represented the cancer. And I was able to hold that together with what I was had anchored in my hips, which is where I was receiving radiation through, by the way, together. And out of holding that whole composite and Rita, who was telling me that everything was going to be okay, I held that all together and cooked that in my body every day for weeks. And when I went into the, every time I'd have to go and get into the radiation machine, instead of having the flood of trauma responses hit me that was probably impeding my healing, I was able to feel that, like, I'm going to get through this. This cancer is only doing what cancer does, trying to feed itself. And anyway, so that's just a quick little example of how it can be helpful. So did it, you know, did it help me physically? Maybe, because when you're, you know, mind, body, spirit, integrative beings, maybe it helped me to survive, but it certainly helped me emotionally to get through 6 weeks every single day of getting in there and getting in that machine and not even being able to walk sometimes when I got out, right? So it's powerful. It's really, really powerful.
Thank you so much for sharing this dream. It's an amazing example of how our dreams can support us in the hardest times that we are going through. Every time I hear a dream like that, a story of someone, I just want to put it in a place that everyone can see and everyone can hear it, because it's there. It's available. It's like it can be your companion. So if currently going through something, maybe you're in a war zone, or maybe you just experienced assault, or maybe you're dealing with your personal trauma or health issues or everything, like my message, and I hope that the message of our conversation and all the other conversations I had is that I just want everyone to remember that it is available to us to have this companion, even if we feel so alone. And as you said, you don't know if this dream helped you on a physical level, right? But I believe that our attitude toward our circumstances, it's so important. As you said, this is what you studied, like the connection that everything is connected, our mind, our soul, our body. So yeah, maybe you can't prove it, as you said, you don't know. But the fact that during the process that you were going through, you had the strength, you remember this feeling from the embodiment that you did during the practice that, yeah, I am strong. There is the strength within me. And there is this lady on the other side of the line that is telling me it will be okay. The help is coming. Like, this is priceless. This is priceless. So thank you so much for sharing this incredible dream and this encouraging dream. And I really hope that it can serve as an example and invitation for people who currently experience.
I hope so too.
Yeah. Adversity, that they can maybe remember their dream tomorrow or the day after. And even if not everyone has resources or capability right now to maybe have a dream work session or dream group or wherever, but even in each one's capabilities, you can just embrace this dream and the parts of it and let it help you the way it can, the incredible.
Right. Because on the surface, that dream was all about fear and panic and the end of the world, right? But with dream work, it came to be about being resourced.
Exactly. And that's what our dreams continue reminding us. And also, maybe as our finishing line, important part that sometimes it's being forgotten that, yes, we get nightmares and we get pointed the stuff that we need to work on, or that needs our attention, maybe better said, but also we get dreams that shows us our strength and are there to help us to go through things and encourage us and show, as you said, like that there is more within us that we even know. And it's so beautiful every time that we let this go through us.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Katrin, for this conversation, for this wonderful work you're doing with dreams and with psychedelic integration. Can you just tell our listeners where they can find more information about you, about all beautiful offerings that you have?
Yes. The best way to contact me is Katrin at awakeinthedream.co. Yeah, not com. That wasn't available. So it's .co. So, and if you want to see what the trainings that we're offering, it's at awakeinthedream.co. And yeah, I'm really happy that I got a chance to share. And so thank you so much for inviting me. You know, dreams aren't literal. Man, we have to remember they're not literal. So thank you. Thank you again. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. And thank you for the work that you're doing to bring understandings about our dream world and the place that we hold in that world to people. And please stay safe.
Everyone stay safe and dream well. Thank you so much.
I really hope that you enjoyed this show. If you did, please consider giving it a like and maybe leaving a review. And most importantly, feel free to share it with your family and friends. For more information about my work and projects, you can check out my website, www.bluelotusqueendom.com.